The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk Kansas.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
In Tulupo, Mississippi, a structural steel company built a small bridge to go over a pothole that had been on the road for 3 years.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Man, I sure wish I was the garbage man. You know what I could do if I was the garbage man? I could go to the wrong parts of town on the wrong days periodically in the morning and then watch everybody run out of their house in their underwear with two bags of trash screaming, "Stop! Halt!" Yeah, that's what I'd love to do.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
You are dressed like an assistant debate coach at an Ohio State middle school.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm the Mark portion of this.
And I am Rob.
All right, everybody. Okay. Well, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, considering. We'll just leave it at that. I'm doing good.
Yeah. You told me. You are doing good, just certain circumstances were not that cool, and it wasn't anybody's fault, really. It's just the way the universe worked.
It was.
So it's the way the universe works, and you know what? I mean, sometimes you throw the dice and you get snake eyes. Sometimes, you know, you get an ace. It just depends, man, you know? And you got the ladder today.
Oh, trust me, I know, brother.
Yeah, so anyhow, I had a pretty good weekend, too. A little bit better than yours because of your circumstance that happened, but you know what? You recovered nicely, and you're happy, and you're good. And like you said, you had your moment there that you needed, right? And you feel much better about everything. Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all need that moment.
I just had to stop, think, and reboot, and I woke up this morning and... Yeah, I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I'm moving on.
I do this moment of clarity.
Yeah.
Where I stop myself in my tracks. I used to do it at work all the time. You know, I'd be like, I get to my emotions in it. We'd be on a job that's falling to shit, and I'd be getting upset and throwing stuff and pouting and fucking walking around pissed. And then I was like, okay, moment of clarity, Mark. Let's go outside, look at the trees. Look at the sky. Look at everything but what man made. And all of a sudden, it's like nothing really matters like you thought it did, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Exactly. Yeah. I just had to sit back. And you know what? Everybody, I don't care who you are, especially any parent.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit back every now and then, take a deep breath, get away from everybody, everything.
Yes.
And get back into your right mind.
Well, like today at work, we're joking around.
That's what I did last night.
We're joking around with some people, and we're talking about, okay,
yeah,
you spend the first quarter of your life trying not to sleep. Then you spend the second, well, probably third. The first third of your life trying not to sleep. You're a teenager, right? And you're going to parties, and you're binging, right? Like we used to do. You know,
right.
It'd be like, oh shit, it's 2 o'clock, I gotta be at work at 5. I'm staying up. There's no way I can get any sleep at all and then just wake up.
Right.
So I'm just gonna do an all-nighter. We used to do that all the time. So, you know, we go start drinking coffee about 3, and then about 5 we're ready to go. Okay, so that's your first third of your life. Second third of your life, you're trying to get to sleep, just anything, as long as, you know, the kids are being good. And you didn't have something that you had to do, and you're just praying for that moment that you get a really good night's sleep, but it doesn't happen for quite a while because that's just the way parenthood and everything and adulting
yeah.
works, right? So the second third of your life, you're trying to find sleep, and then the third and final phase of your life, you're sleeping all the time again.
Right.
So... Well, no, you're sleeping all the time. At first, you're not sleeping, then you want to sleep, and then you sleep all the damn time. So it's kind of an odd concept if you think about it, but it is kind of the way it goes,
right.
You know. So, well, I had a pretty good weekend. Like I said, we went out and celebrated a friend's birthday.
Good.
Yeah, she was doing pretty good. She's in a good place. I know she had a really bad headache the next day and didn't feel so well, but it was a great night. So we're at the Peanut. Have you ever been to the Peanut, Rob?
No.
Okay, it's a really cool bar and grill. It's locally owned. They have maybe 3 or 4 around Kansas City. And they're famous for their wings. Their drummies on the wings look like fucking drumsticks of a chicken. They're so big.
Oh, wow.
They're huge wings. And then they pretty much send them to you naked, right? So anyhow, when they have all... So they serve them naked. And they have great sauces that you dip them in, so you could ask for 3 or 4 different sauces, right? Well, all of a sudden, everybody there's quite a few people for her birthday. I'd say there's probably 12, 13, 14 of us, maybe even 18. So, anyhow, 3 of them started asking for a mystery beer. I'm like, what? And all of a sudden, the whole table's like, yeah, let's get mystery beer. I'm like, what the hell is mystery beer? Well... The Peanut and other places, this is like a Gen Z and a millennial thing, and I had no idea what was going on. A mystery beer is a concept where you pay $3, say, $4, depending on the bar, you know. If it's just a regular bar down the road, you're going to pay, like, probably $3, okay? So then when they bring the beers out, they're all in brown bags, okay? So you just grab a brown bag off of the cart or the tray, and that's your beer. And most people, some of it, take it out and look at it and go, hey, look what I got. You know, I got a brown ale or I got an IPA or whatever, right? And then some people, and this is what I would do if I bought a mystery beer. I didn't that night. I was just drinking Yinlings and was pretty happy with it. So anyhow, they drink the beer with the brown bag still on it. And then at the end, they take it out and see what they drank.
The hell no.
Oh, no, someone got a Natty Light, and they were not happy about it. I'm like, damn it, I spent $3 for this. And then someone else got a real...
Because I didn't get a Natty Light.
Me too. Someone got... Well, I do like Martin City Craft Brewery here just a mile away, and they had a couple of Martin Cities in there. But what now?
I don't know, man. It's, yeah.
Well, anyhow, it was pretty cool. Had no idea that was going on, but that was pretty cool. And then I left everybody telling them that I got a Dodge Challenger souped up for my rental. Will I survive that?
How's that going?
It went well. I don't have it anymore. I found out. Okay, so they gave it to me for about 3 days, and that's it. And then after that, I would have had to start paying for it, which would, why would I have a bumper to bumper if I have to pay like 3 months worth of rent for this car? So anyhow, they ended up telling me with the differential in the rear end being like that, it can be driven. And so I had to take the Challenger back and get my Jeep back. So I'm driving it with the differential, the rear end differential, needing fixed. And anyhow, they said it could take a few months, maybe even 6 months. And the problem with the parts on Jeeps is the UAW strike, what, about a half year ago? Three quarters of a year?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what it affected the parts greatly. So they can't get parts right now. They just don't have enough of them, and they're waiting for them to be built. And you have all these Jeep dealers across the country waiting for these parts. So simply, I'm on a waiting list for these parts.
Did you say through GM? No, that's Jeep. No.
Jeep is...
You said, AMC. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyhow, so the UAW strike affected it is what happened. And
right.
So, and that's why they can't get parts right now. So, anyhow, so I'm on hold on that, but at least I can drive my Jeep. But it was kind of rough bringing the Challenger back. I was a little dejected there. I brought it back, and here's your car. and the guy looks at me and goes, everybody has that look when they bring it back. Everybody.
Yeah, especially after they've seen you take off at it.
Oh, I smoked the tires in front of work, and people run out there thought something was wrong. I ended up doing some fucking donuts in a parking lot. Man, I felt like I was 17 again. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. So anyhow, it was fun while it lasted. So anyhow, really quick, I wanted to get to the Chiefs draft a little bit here. So, okay, so here's my thoughts on it. You tell me if you think I'm wrong or if you think I'm right. I think the Chiefs draft is probably going to be the highest rated talent on the board, right? Because they have pretty much a complete team. They need receivers. They need another cornerback now because they couldn't afford to keep Snead, and we traded him for a draft pick, you know. So, okay, all that being said, we have a pretty damn good team, and we have strong points everywhere. So I'm thinking what the Chiefs are doing is it's going to be the best talent on the board. So it depends on the top receivers left at 32 or the top offensive linemen, most likely, unless there's a steal in there somewhere. Probably a really good cornerback they get in the second or third round like they have been. Okay, so I'm thinking like, if there's a really standout offensive lineman, right? And there's an okay receiver. There's a really good receiver, but he's not a standout. I think that they can fluctuate enough and go, you know what? We think this offensive lineman is going to be extraordinary. That receiver looks good, but we can survive without him. Now, we're going to get this offensive lineman to replace some of the ones that are coming up that are going to be wanting a big contract. So I kind of see them just taking the best talent on the board unless they move up to specifically get one of these receivers from Texas that Mahomes has been working out with. You think I'm probably right on that?
I think that's probably more what they're looking like. But you know what? You also got to remember the second and third strings that we've held on to. That can step up at any time, and they're known for it.
Well, like a Mike Dana, or who was the one that was the highest?
Yeah, any of them.
The highest rated defense.
Any time.
Yeah. During the Super Bowl and the playoff run, the highest rated defensive player was a backup. And look at how Drew Tranquil has played as a backup linebacker. He could be a starter on most teams.
Right.
I mean, but we got Nick Bolton, you know. And we did have Willie Gay Jr., but he... he signed, I forgot who he signed with, it wasn't us. But anyhow, I think we have a pretty solid team. So I think we're really good on that aspect. So I think second, third, fourth, fifth rounds for a steal of a defensive player. And I would think, you know, they could get a McDuffie or something maybe in the second or third round. I mean, Spagnuolo and Veach have been doing a very good job of identifying this talent.
They have.
and then getting the talent and coaching them to where they are, you know, or great. So I think that's the way they're going. And another thing is, okay, I think, okay, we have the main competition, right? Who would you say the two main competitors in the AFC are to us? Bills and
Cincinnati.
Natty. Yeah, Bills and Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, Bills and Cincinnati, yeah.
Okay, well, both of them, even us, we all took a step back. But these other teams aren't as complete as us. Cincinnati might be a little closer than Buffalo. Buffalo is still a team to be reckoned with, and with a guy like their quarterback, you know, there's, you know, he's a guy that can get it done with his arm. He can take, you know, he can take the team on his back, but he hasn't been able to do that because he has to go through a guy named Mahomes. So, okay. I think the team coming up to beat, and it may be this year, it may be next year, but soon, I think the team coming up that's going to be our competition is the Texans, the Houston Texans.
That is funny.
Why?
As soon as you started going into it, the first team that popped in my head was Houston.
Yes. CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
No, go ahead.
Okay, C.J. Stroud looks to be extraordinary as a quarterback. He looks elite. He had a good set of receivers, but now he has Stephon Diggs and probably a decent draft pick, maybe another receiver or a tight end, maybe some offensive linemen. I mean, they also got a Miles Bryant, too, who's a good player. This team looks to be very good. You know, Stroud has some playoff experience, and they did win one game. So let's not forget that. So he has one game behind him already that he won, and then he had one game that he got flattened, and, you know, that was by Baltimore, but Baltimore was a really good team. And then, you know, and then, of course, we beat them. So, but I think that the Texans are going to be the team to beat coming up. I don't know if it's going to be this year or if it's going to be next year. But I think definitely by next year, you're going to see them rise as an elite team. Maybe to the Chiefs level, maybe not. But
you give them a little time to get work together and get comfortable with each other. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I've been watching them.
Me too. And I think that they have the real deal down there with C.J. Stroud. So, you know.
Yeah. They're putting something together. They really are.
Yeah, they are. So it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch a Mahomes against a Stroud, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That would be an interesting game.
That's a game that's got a check mark next to it in my mind. And when I see that matchup, I'm calling in if I have to work. I'm buying a lot of beer and a lot of chips, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to soak that bastard in. Because we know we're going to see that in championship games coming up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game.
Yeah, it's just like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, or what's his name over there in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. Whenever you see that on the bill, you're like, oh yeah. All right. What time's that game start?
It's going to be a good game.
Yep. Let's see. I'm going to start grilling about 2. Have everything done about 6:30. Beer's going to be nice and cold because I got it in the beer fridge and nobody touches that. If they do, they know they die. So, you know.
Phone is going on silent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're like, this is my time. So, anyhow, this is another one of those matchups. And this is one of the things that makes the NFL so great. Because everybody, any red-blooded male in America that is a football lover, is earmarking that right now. People that aren't Mahomes and Stroud fans are earmarking that because they want to see that. They're like, oh shit, man, that game right there, I can't wait to see it. It's going to be another one. Whoever has the ball when there's 30 seconds left is going to win, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I see this other matchup and I think it's going to be wonderful. And Let's see, what else did I have here? I think that was all I had on my opening bit here that I wanted to get to. So, Rob, I turn it over to you, and go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to start off the night by solving one of the life's biggest mysteries.
Women?
No.
Oh, okay.
How McDonald's can get your order correct every time?
They do?
Well, other than what they put in the bag. They know what's supposed to go with
it. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
You got me there. Not, yeah, they still screw up. But they know it's your order. They get the biggest part of your order correct.
Yeah, usually. Usually it's like you get a Diet Coke instead of a Coke, or you get, like, I don't know, a McFlurry instead of a shake. But, yeah, you know what? It's usually not that horrible.
They know it's you.
Yeah. Yep.
And everybody, and now that a lot of McDonald's are two lanes, everybody's really been talking about this. How the hell can they still get it straight?
You know, I've always wondered that. I think, and another thing is, here in Kansas City, they're using AI.
I have the answer.
Okay. Do they use AI at yours, or is it still a real person that says, hi, welcome to McDonald's?
Oh, no, it's still a real person.
Okay, we have artificial intelligence greeting us and taking the order. And then if they don't quite understand it, then a real person goes, did you say a McFlurry or did you say an apple pie?
Right.
Yeah, but other than that, it's AI at first. And then the AI will even repeat your order if they got it, they thought they got it all correct. And if you go, no, that's wrong, then a real person will interject. But other than that, it's AI. So anyhow, Rob, how do they do this?
Okay. In a now vanished TikTok video, a McDonald's insider dropped a bombshell that's got everyone talking. Hidden cameras are strategically placed in the drive-thru lanes, but it's not just for keeping an eye out for trouble. These cameras have a much juicier role. They're snapping pics to make sure you get your Big Mac and fries without a mix-up.
Wow.
The employee dished out the details in the video, saying that these sneaky cameras snap a quick photo of both you and your ride as soon as you place your order. This way, when you pull up to the collection window, the staff can easily match your face and car with your order.
That makes a lot of sense now that you say it.
Well, you know, I've been in McDonald's line many times, and now here, even here in Camden, they went to two lanes and merged into one. And I'm sitting there, done got more, waiting in line. I'm like, how the hell do they know that's my order?
Well, that's how.
You know?
I got to commend Whataburger.
And that's how. There are cameras. But just remember, they'll catch you, any little vandals running around, okay?
Well, there's plenty of times someone was fat-lipping it and get my order wrong, and I flipped the damn...
Right.
I flipped the speaker off, so I'm pretty sure they seen it and probably snotted in my burger. So, anyhow, I gotta commend Whataburger. Whataburger has two lanes, and they use the second lane. They have food runners. The first lane, you go up to the window, you pay, and then the second window, they have food runners. And they come out there, they get your credit card, and then they come back with your food and your credit card. So they have two different places that you order. They have two different machines that you talk to with speakers. And then you go up there, and if you're in the right second lane, you stay there. You don't merge into one lane. And it works pretty good. It works really good.
Yeah.
Because Whataburger does not make your burgers ahead of time. They ask your name. They go, hey, what's your name? Mark. Okay, all right, that's $27.50. All right, cool. All right, your order will be out soon. And then someone comes by, they take your credit card, they go in, and then, you know, they run it, and then they bring you out your food. And so, you know, it's a pretty good concept they got there. And it works because that cooking it fresh does work because they have two lanes, you see. And it doesn't back up the line. If it was one lane, it would take forever to get your food. You see what I mean? And they have enough help inside flipping them and all that stuff. So I wanted to make a program note here. We have two new segments that I'm pretty proud of. And also some of them are going to feature you, Rob. You and I got to get together like always, and we got to
all right.
We got to do some mic time.
Let me know when.
Okay, I definitely will. But we have news nobody gives a shit about, and we have translations of a cat. So every time your cat goes meow meow, we tell you what the cat is saying. We have a cat decoder here at the Talk Is Cheap Studios, and we're going to let you know what your cat says. You can even call in and leave us a voicemail saying, this is what your cat's, you know, this is my cat meowing, and we will let you know on the program what the cat is saying. 816-213-7717 is our Talk Is Cheap studio number. Anyhow, let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll be right back with more garbage you probably don't give a shit about. How's that?
And maybe some that you might.
Yes.
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
Hi, all. This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh, yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Now, from his underground bunker in Camden, in Missouri, a stock full of dried goods, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys, it's the ramblings of a madman featuring Rob Rad.
When you're young, you sneak out of the house to go to parties. When you're old, you sneak out of parties to go home.
Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. That's right, Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. Make that little girl chew off your balls. You want to fuck shit up? You want to force them across America? Brick Shithouse is for you.
Please enjoy Brick Shithouse Energy Drink responsibly. It's not readily available anywhere because of liability issues.
Think about what's just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Sheep sorrel and wood sorrel are salad variety greens reminiscent of romaine types of lettuce. Are both healthy and delicious. Vinegar and oil can be stored for a long period of time, so a post-apocalypse salad is possible. It can also be ground for a tasty spice as well.
Hello, this is Satan. You might know me from my pet name, Inflation. I'm here to tell you that there's no better way to relax than listen to Two Douchebags and Microphone by a nice warm fire at night. I sit there and I reflect on all the souls I burned that day. Enjoy.
And we are back. Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Okay, Rob, I want to tell you something personally here, though. Okay. You know, we did our tribute to Slacker, right? Last week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know you enjoy listening to Max Floyd, obviously. We all do. He's a legend. So, anyhow, he was on this local show in the morning, 7:10 a.m., Pete Mundo. All you have to do is Google Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, Pete Mundo, and then Max Floyd. Google that, and it will take you to the podcast of it. It's about 23 minutes of a candid interview about Max Floyd talking about Slacker, Max Floyd talking about his career. And he still sounds great. Yes, you do. He still sounds great. It's a great interview. Pete Mundo is very good. I think he's a very underrated talk show host here in Kansas City. So, anyhow, he does a really good interview with him, and I think everyone would enjoy it who was a Max Floyd fan. Even people that weren't, I think you'd enjoy listening to it. So, I've got a story here that's pretty interesting, Rob. Mai Soto, a Japanese magazine writer, had a very odd girlfriend. Her name is her name is Sirach, and she is an AI You're cracking me up, Rob. And she is an AI generated female. Your noises you're making are awesome. What?
I know. That's just funny. You're catching me off guard on this.
Well, this gets better. Mai was happy with his relationship, or Mia, Mai, I think it's Mai, was very happy with his relationship and says that Sirach is his soulmate and wanted to marry her. Well, the relationship was around 7 months deep when Sirach went rogue. She suddenly told him that if he didn't send money to an undisclosed company, that she was going to show all his private photos on the internet to his work, friends, and even his landlord. Can you believe that? The AI took and blackmailed him. Blackmailed this guy. So he probably sent her wiener pictures and shit, the way it sounds. So, Mai or me or whatever, he was sending a fucking AI. He was sending dick pics and love notes.
Okay.
But it
just
gets,
saying.
But wait, there's
some
more.
Some people do not deserve John Connor saving them.
Yes, I hope John Connor skips right over this
just
guy.
Saying.
Mai Soto. Me was more heartbroken by the betrayal and could not believe that the love of his life could turn so quickly on him. He did have a couple of photos sent to his mother, but he said it wasn't anything too embarrassing, and his mother approves of his relationship with the AI. His mother? You know what? Maybe his mother might be some of the problem, you think? Possibly. If his mother approved of him dating an AI and wanting to marry an AI... I'm going to say she was part of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. That goes deep.
Okay.
That goes deep.
All right. Let's play someone else right now, okay, Rob? Okay. My name's Frank, and you're my son, okay? Hey, Rob. What's up, man?
Not much.
What do I hear about you dating a robot online? What's going on with that?
No, I ain't doing that.
You sure?
Nope. You have no proof.
If you're doing that, fucking stop. You hear me, Rob?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, that's how that's done. She didn't do that. She said, oh, go ahead and keep dating him. Mai was able to get authorities involved and was informed that several AI-generated females went dark before Sirach did. So, this is an ongoing thing. So, a lot of blackmailing their lovers, in quotation. He said he wants time alone to recover emotionally before becoming involved with anyone else. When asked if he was going to date another AI, he first said he wanted to repair his relationship with Sirach. But if not, he will still look for an AI female because that's what he chooses to be with. Rob, please take us away from that.
Okay, well, I'm going to take this into the story that I talked to you about before we went on the air.
Okay.
So we are off the deep end right now. We're going to have to reel ourselves back in. Probably, yeah, after this one too.
Okay, but wait, there's more.
Yeah, but wait, there's more. Okay. The man who self-immolated himself out the New York courthouse where former President Trump's first criminal is taking place has succumbed to his injuries, according to the police.
Okay, first off, everybody, this is not about ex-President Trump's stuff going on. I'm talking about this person that did this. Forget where it, Trump. It doesn't matter where you're at. Any protest, whatever.
Yeah.
The New York Police Department said early Saturday morning that, I'm going to call him Max.
Okay.
37 was declared dead at hospital, only because I can't pronounce that last thing.
That's fine.
Was declared dead at by hospital staff, the Associated Press reported. The news comes a day after he walked into a park outside the Manhattan courthouse where protests from the former president's trial had been taking place since it began earlier this week. And through conspiratorial pamphlets into the air before pouring an accelerant and lighting himself on fire.
Wow.
NYPD said during a press conference that the man labeled a conspiracy theorist traveled to New York from Florida earlier in the week. They indicated, however, that the incident was not intended to target any individual or group, including Trump or protesters.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know why he lit himself on fire. What does that prove?
That's going to be the first thing I ask him if I run into him when I get into heaven. Well, no. He committed suicide.
He may not. If I do see him in heaven, I'm going to make fun of him.
Hey, no, my first question is, was it worth it? I mean, we all firmly believe in freedom of speech.
Yes.
But come on.
But burn yourself to death?
Take it just a tad too far.
This strikes me like, it was several years ago, maybe even over 10 years ago, where the guy, there's a congressman, he was anti-abortion, and the guy cut his penis off and threw it at him. Remember that? Yeah. This reminds me of that. the guy bled out, and the congressman is still alive and still anti-abortion.
I remember.
Yeah. So, okay, thank you, Rob. I've got a little list here, right? And this list is words that Gen Z and Gen Alpha swear are never going to emerge in the English vocabulary once the boomers, especially, and Xers are all gone from this earth. You want to hear what they say is going to be banished forever? The words?
Yeah, so I can hear him for one last time.
Okay. Well, I think us Xers have a good 30 years, maybe, hopefully.
Oh, yeah,
20
yeah,
years
yeah.
Here.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
you know.
We're always going to use them.
Yeah, yeah, but until then, these words are still going to be around.
Publicly, let's hear them one last time.
Okay, that sounds good. First one is grody. Remember that growing up?
Yeah.
Someone didn't take a shower and they're all muddy. You go, oh, grody. Someone's picking their nose and eating it. Hey, look at him. Isn't that grody?
In other words, gross.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yep. The Xers and Alphas, they don't like that word. And they swear it's going to be banished when they rule this earth, if they ever do. Next one, don't flip your wig. Okay, I kind of see the logic in that.
I haven't heard it lately, right?
I haven't heard it in a long time, honestly.
I was being nice.
A lot of these are boomer words, not X words.
Right.
But anyhow, we did use them too because we grew up around them.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. The next one, and it made a comeback in the 90s, really big time, was to dig something. Man, I really dig that tune, or I really dig that chick, right? It means that you really like it. You're like enamored with it. Like you're enamored.
Oh, yeah.
You're enamored with a chick, or you're enamored with this great new band, Fliphammer. Fliphammer is fucking awesome, man. Jeez, I dig Fliphammer. They're so good. They don't like that word, and they swear it's going to be banished. The next one is square. I think square means something else right now in Gen Alpha anyhow. I think square means like someone true or something. But square to us meant someone that's just like, I don't know, a goof, someone that doesn't know how to have fun, doesn't have a personal life. Yeah, they're square. Yep. It's like, hey, what about that new kid? He's pretty square. Then you go, all right, well, we'll just skip over him. He's not going to be on our kickball team because he's square. So, next one they don't like is cool cat. I've never used that one. I've never used the word cat. Like, hey, that cat over there, have you?
No.
That's more almost all exclusively boomer talk, not us. Xers don't use that. I don't think I've ever heard anyone of my generation using that. And if they did, I'd probably punch them in the face.
That was definitely a boomer.
And this next one's a boomer, too. I used to do it to joke. I used to use this for shock value. Just say, far out. Like someone would go, hey, man.
Yeah.
Hey, look at my new, I don't know, gee, I forgot. I forgot the name of the bikes that were made out of aluminum. Let's say...
Diamondback, Redline,
Yeah. Hey, look at my new bike, and you go, far out, man. Far out meant cool, great, awesome, yeah.
Okay, no. We did come in at the tail end of that.
Yeah, because the older ones, the ones that are, I don't know, 5-6 years older than us, they used far out quite a bit.
And
we used it a little bit, but not like them.
Yeah, anybody older in the neighborhood was using it, but as we were coming up, we caught it, but then it just kind of went away.
Yes. So anyhow, far out I haven't heard in a long time. Anyhow, I don't think they're going to have any problem getting rid of that word. So,
if you want to hear it, watch a Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
I remember them using that many times in that show.
And the Partridge Family, too. Both of them.
Yeah, Partridge Family, too, yeah.
And Josie and the Pussycats. Every other word was far out.
Yeah.
Do you remember them, the cartoon?
Yep, I remember.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats. I remember, who was it that played it? Was it Uncle Ed? Remember Uncle Ed? Ed Mascari?
Yeah.
On Channel 41. He used to have Caffeina and Nicotina, the cats. And, he was kind of creepy, and then he ended up going to jail for child molestation, I believe, in San Diego. And he starved his cats to death. He was like a real fucking creep, I believe. I believe that's what happened. I think, I'm pretty sure I read that in the paper. I think he used to play Josie and the Pussycats when he had his show that, it doesn't matter. Anyhow, thongs.
And everybody wonders what happened to our generation.
Yes. We watched
our TV and find out what about the people that put on that.
We watched it. We watched a pedophile.
What they're doing now, how much prison time they've done.
We watched a pedophile Saturday nights with two cats. No wonder we're fucked. The next one,
The Gen X. Like if we're only calling ourselves douchebags.
Exactly. Look, it's in the name. People know what they're getting.
We could call ourselves worse.
Yeah, I mean, we could be two square guys, right? That wouldn't be any fun. Man, these guys are so square. I can't listen to them.
Yeah, but then once they listen to it, they be like, hey.
These guys are too douchebaggy. All right, the next one. Thongs. As in flip-flops. Because now thongs, even our generation thongs were different, remember? They are they're underwear that pretty much go up the crack of your ass, right?
Yeah.
So thongs.
I know both. I know them as shoes, too.
I knew them as thongs and also as the skimpy underwear, too. I knew them as both.
Right, right, right.
And it depended on what context they were used in. So, hey, man, do you see that guy's toes through his thongs? You knew they were talking about sandals, basically, flip-flops. And then, you know, hey, man, you see that chick's ass in the thong? Then you knew you were talking about underwear, skimpy underwear. The next one, wet rag. I don't know if I ever used that. I can't remember. Have you?
Wet rag. Yuck.
I use wet blanket.
For some reason, that is ringing a bell.
I used to use wet blanket instead of wet rag. Like, someone's like, oh, man, his girlfriend's here, and she's going to bitch at him for playing poker with us. Oh, man, she's right. Such a wet blanket.
I could see that being the same thing. Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead.
The way I understood wet blanket is it was the same thing. It's like a girlfriend coming in and screaming at her man for playing poker with the guys or something.
Right.
There you go. Oh, man, what a wet blanket. All right, the next one, bread. I've never used the word bread, but I heard it used a lot, as in money.
Money, yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, ain't got no bread. I always use chips. Man, ain't got any chips, man. You know, as in poker chips. And I know other people that use bread. Did you use bread? Did you use chips? No.
Cash, Camaro. I ain't got no damn money.
Okay. Dinero. Dinero is what the Italians at the corner used. Hey, man. Yeah. You got my dinero? All right. Next one. Give me some skin. I don't think I've ever said that either. Have you?
I remember that.
I do remember it, but I don't think I've ever used it. So.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Nowadays, I think give me some skin is a chick want you to pull the old fucking rubber off, right? Hey, give me some skin. All right.
I would not know.
Honestly, I wouldn't either. I've been married
for a while. I wouldn't know. That tells you what kind of life I live.
You know what, Rob? This program is going to take you to your soulmate. Because any chick that likes this program, you're going to fall in love with. So, go to Rob Rad. Look at Rob Rad's page, Rob Radford, Two Douchebags and Microphone. Send him a message there. Even male genitalia, he doesn't care. It's fine.
I am single.
There you go.
And actually, kind of looking.
There you go, girls. But guys, remember, if you got a penis pic, an old penis pic laying around, send it to him. He's kind of bored right now, right?
Yeah. We'll start for another competition.
Yeah, you got, you know, the fucking mud button.
We've only had one of those.
You got a couple of mud button picks laying around? Send it to Rob. He wants them.
Which I still talk to Eric all the time, our first one.
Oh, yeah, the guy that won the male body parts sent to Rob contest.
Yeah, he's a great guy, man. Yeah.
Did you send him his pencil shavings?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the one that...
Okay, they didn't get pencil shavings.
The butt pictures.
Story winners get pencil shavings. I'm sorry, I got it all wrong.
Yeah.
And no one's got my fake story.
No, I have not got that. I'm sorry, your pencil shavings are in the... they're on the way.
Hey, you got an email. I got an email about that, man. They want their pencil shavings, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's already got me on it once, and I still ain't got him in the mail yet.
As
I've had a busy week, man. I've had a busy week.
As of Tuesday evening after we do our podcast, if someone has not caught my fake story, I have won. Have you come up with a fake story yet for people to catch you on for this week or not?
Mine is not out there yet.
All right. Well, Rob got by with the last one.
Coming up. It's coming up close.
All right. I'm about ready to be tied with you if nobody sends in. Me saying this is just going to ensure that some bastard's going to do it now. They're going to find it and go, huh, I'm going to get this asshole. So, anyhow.
No, actually, I think you got that one.
I think I do, too. It was very cleverly disguised.
No, you covered it very well.
I know. I don't think anyone's going to catch it exactly. So, next one, Hang Loose. I think I used to use that. Did you?
Yeah, I used to use that one when I was younger.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, where's my weed? Hey, hang loose, man, hang loose. The guy's in transit, man. Your weed's coming, man. He just called me. Yeah, I was in there on the old telephone. I have cord that I can stretch around the corner so my mom can't hear me talking about weed. And then I remember the old cordless phones that worked in your house. Until I found out, like, the neighbor could pick him up on her fucking Citizens band. And, like, she pulled me aside.
No. What my dad did was he bought one for the living room and one for the family room.
Oh, that's the way to go.
So I'd be on the one in the living room. All he had to do was quietly pick up the one in the family room.
He got you.
Listen to every word.
Neighbor told me, she is an older lady, she goes, you know, I could blackmail you. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, I hear all your conversations on my Citizens band. I'm like, oh man, I'm kind of embarrassed now. Anyhow, she said something like, yeah, you should be. So, anyhow.
Yeah. Back in the day, our privacy settings weren't so private.
Yes, yeah. No, we had no privacy back then. None. Anyhow, the next one, Bogart. I use that a lot. Hey, quit Bogarting that. Bottle of nitrane.
Oh, yeah.
Bottle of nitrane is someone swigging an extra one. Hey, quit Bogarting that, you know. Fucking bong hit. Hey!
Joint, yeah.
Or even munchies, you know. Everyone would be stoned and drunk off their ass. Someone bring a bag of popcorn from Phillips 66. And remember when they had those popcorn machines in there?
Yeah. You just pass it around.
Yeah, and the guy in there, he used to sell drugs in that popcorn machine.
Yeah.
Remember that? He'd tell you the bag.
I remember that.
The bag with the Coke had an X on it. And so we'd come in there and give him, they'd buy gas, a couple dollars worth, and they'd slip him an extra 50, and he'd go, got the X on it. And the guy would go over there, get his free popcorn with the X on it. He'd go in his car and grab his cocaine and leave. Brilliant. He never got busted.
See, that I did not know. That I did not know.
Yes. That was at Phillips 66.
Yeah, no, I remember the popcorn.
I'll tell you off this program which Phillips 66 it was, because you frequented it with me quite a bit. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. I think I've used that a couple of times. This next one I used to use all the time. Amped. It's like, oh, dude, I love this song. I'm so amped up.
Oh, dude, that was a major 80s word.
It was. That was X
was.
All
Especially
over it.
If you're into metal and, you know.
Yeah, you just go, man, I'm amped. Listen to this.
I'm amped, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Man, I got it. I got the new 8-track of Rat. Man, I'm amped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, dude. Listen to this, man. Listen to Stephen Piercy, man. Oh, man, fuck yeah. Man, I'm amped. All right, next one. And the final one. Let's Split. I don't think I've ever used that one.
Oh, yeah. I used to use that one all the time.
Maybe I did. I don't know. Say, like, make like a baby and head out. Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's blow this popsicle wagon.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's one they need to banish too, okay? So alphas and X's, or Z's. I can't even get my generation
straight. They should have banished that one before this.
Yeah, they should have. All right, we're going to
put this one on the next list.
That's right. I'm sure they're on it right now. Let's take our second break, and we're going to come back with something from you, Rob. That sound good?
That sounds good, because I got pretty interesting.
All right, we'll be right back.
Introducing Rob Rad's new book, How to Track Your Enemy by Scent. That's right, smell your enemy before they get you. Order this gem now and get a free virtual tour of Rob's secret bunker in Camdenton, Missouri. Also receive a free copy of his new book, How to Clean Raw Sewage for Food.
A lot of podcasts just come from a can. Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we pour our own podcasts.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. Who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no. It's the island of horrible jokes.
My hotel tried to charge me for air conditioning. That's not cool.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
You're as useful as a condom with holes.
Now it's time for pickup lines from a loser.
Hey girl, are you a beaver? 'Cause damn.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
The origins of beignet. Beignets first made an appearance in New Orleans in the 1700s when French Creole colonists settled the land. According to NewOrleans.com, also known as French Arcadians, they moved to the Bayou Lands in Louisiana after they were forced from their homes in the Nova Scotia area by the British, reports Britannica.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Okay. If I borrow money from a pessimist, would they expect to not get it back? I may never know.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Oh wow, look, the Wayne Newton Channel is the highest rated network.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Real quick, I forgot one of the things that I had because I just was flipping through some papers. I have another segment, too. I have another segment that I'm working on right now, and I think I got the voice for it. I think I want Chad to do the actual intro to it, but it's Overreaction Guy.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yes. Yeah, so we have Overreaction Guy. We have How to Translate Your Cat. We'll tell you what cats say. You can send in a voicemail. 213-7717-816 area code. Send in your cat meow, and we can decode it for you.
Yeah, we got to hear the cat itself so we can translate it.
Yes, and we will translate it for you. And also, news stories you don't give a shit about. And there's like five of them.
Oh,
that
we do that every day.
Yes, yes, but this is the really, really, really ones you don't want to fucking hear about. Anyhow, Rob, we turn to you.
Actually, I have a pretty cool one.
All right.
First question. Oh, yeah. Anyway. April 15th, 1964.
Remember it well.
Before,
no, not really.
Huh?
I said remember it well. No, I wasn't born yet. Go ahead.
No. Actually, this car enthusiasts need one to remember well.
Oh, okay.
2 days before its official on sale date, Dale Weiss, 22, bought the first Ford Mustang with money went to her by her parents.
Cool.
Yes, you heard me. The first Ford Mustang. She wanted a convertible, but there were none in stock. A sympathetic salesman sold her the Mustang for $3,447.50. Now 80, Dale still has the car. To this day,
wow.
She still has the very... She bought the not only the very first Mustang,
uh-huh,
but she was a woman, which was a lot back then.
You know what? You're right about that, because that was predominantly a male thing, was these muscle cars.
Right.
Yeah. And the two guys that challenged me in my Challenger were Mustang owners. Or I think they're the owners. Yeah. I had two Mustangs on two different occasions come up and rev up and want to race when I had the Challenger there. And anyhow, of course, me being an old man, I had to flat turn it down. So anyhow, wow, that's cool. I never knew that. And she still has it.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's a little... It goes on a little more here.
Okay, cool.
Back then, you lived at home until you got married. Explained Gail, who in the 60s taught third grade at Sunnyside Elementary School in Berkeley, Illinois.
Okay.
She was 22 and traveled the 12 miles between her home and work using her parents' car, but this was unsustainable. Her family all drove Fords and specifically convertibles. Which was high on Gail's wish list for her very own car. She remembers the very day, Wednesday, April 15, 1964. Her father went to Chicago, to Cicero Avenue, to visit Johnson Ford. A solution was in sight, but there were no convertibles on the showroom floor that day.
Okay.
Okay, you'll figure out. She wasn't just looking for the Mustang. She just wanted a convertible at a Ford lot.
Uh-huh, understand.
However, there was a... Wait a second. The salesman, however, was sympathetic to Gail's plight and revealed that there was one special something in the back. However, there was a catch. That special something was going to make its debut April 17th, 2 days later, as part of the New York's World Fair. Buying the car in back meant doing so without a test drive.
Okay. So no test drive.
No test drive, and they had to take it to the World's Fair, and she got it when it came back.
Oh, wow.
That car happened to be the very first Ford Mustang.
Wow.
I thought that was a cool story, man.
That's a very cool story, Rob.
I remember it came out in the World's Fair that they announced Ford Mustang, but I never knew who it went to. And come to find out, the very first Ford Mustang owner, before, and she actually owned it 2 days before it went to the World's Fair. Was a woman.
That's really interesting, because that was a male dominated, heavily male dominated.
Yeah, that was cool.
I got a question for you. This is the time that we knew each other way back when. Remember when I bought that 67 Ford Mustang with no title, but I didn't know it had no title? And we had to go shake the bastard down and get my money back?
That was actually kind of a fun car.
It was, until I realized I couldn't get it licensed. And we got stopped out there because, was it Harry that fucking shot a skyrocket out of the back of it and, like, hit some car? You remember that? I think that's when I got busted.
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, it doesn't matter. That's how I got busted. I didn't have a license on it, and then the guy never would produce a title.
Was it your brother that got his hand blew up in the parking lot?
Yeah, that was John.
Jim?
Yes, that was
lighting
John.
Lighting a damn firework off in the backseat of a car, trying to get it out of the window.
Trying to get it out of the window. Yep.
We had to rush into the ER.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, dude.
I got a question for you.
Were you in the car with me?
No.
I was outside the car.
They weren't working that night. I was working. I was coming out to come talk to them. And,
you were out there with me.
Yeah, I just seen the flash and,
I remember every that car. They couldn't hear shit. Their ears were ringing.
Oh, I know, man.
What was that, an M80 or something that went off in his hand?
I don't think it's an M. I don't know. He had to have gotten it out of there somehow.
It was big enough. It blew his hand open. He was.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's lucky.
Yeah.
I don't think it was quite an M80, but I think he was lucky that it wasn't quite an M80 like he thought he bought.
Everybody else's ears were ringing.
It also blew up the window. When he threw it out, it hit the window.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I got one for you. Time. Speaking of Ford Mustangs, remember that Rob guy that worked there? He thought he was, like, really cool. He had kind of semi-long hair and always wore the button-up collar shirts. He had a Mustang.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Remember, I won't say his name, but he used to be my neighbor. He stole the guy's tires. He stole his craters off of it, and he put his car on blocks while we were working.
I almost bet I know what neighbor.
You know who it is. I know you know who it is.
Anyhow,
Rob comes out. We all knew it happened because we didn't like him. And we're kind of spying on him for said guy. So Rob comes out, he's going to go home, and he comes out and he's like, what the fuck? His car's up on blocks. Oh my God, I could not imagine.
Okay, Mark, I had not a thought of him in years. I never crossed my mind till you just mentioned him. And now I can picture it. I'm dying laughing, dude.
Oh, he was so mad, but I don't blame him. And then said guy, my old neighbor, sold the tires. And Rob had to get new tires. That car sat there for 2 weeks until he got his check.
I remember him.
Man, were you there when...
Everybody liked his car more than they did him.
Yes, yeah. And he'd let us drive it, too, just to be cool.
Yeah, he did.
I remember... I don't want to say his name. Anyhow, remember when... he ditched it. And Rob was so mad. Okay, I got a little story for you, man. I still can't believe him getting his tires stolen by my neighbor. I'd never seen anything like that. I remember I looked at Rob, I go, at least the guy left it on blocks, so your car's okay. Oh, we were bastards.
Did he work with us for a while?
Yes, he did. He was working when he got his...
That's how I knew him. Yeah.
He was working while he got his tires stolen.
Yeah.
When said neighbor snuck up there and stole his tires. So, because the back parking lot, no one ever went there. They went to the sides and they went to the front, but they never went to the back. And that was just all us, restaurant workers that were back there. So we knew nobody was back there because we're all working. So anyhow, all right. I got one story here, and then we can either keep going or you can cap it off. You're the one that has to work in the morning. So, fast food chains have raised prices drastically in the recent years, blaming everything from rising food costs to labor shortages to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Because of this, some fast food customers are starting to cut back and are opting to eat at home or switch to dine-in options, which are increasingly viewed as a better value for the money. And I do that, and I'll go into that here in a minute. Sarah Senatori, I guess is her name, a restaurant analyst at Bank of America, told Business Insider that fast food restaurants historically increase prices by about 2% yearly. At some restaurants in 2022 and 23, they went up by double digits. I'll bet you it's more like 40%. As general inflation, including for groceries, comes until they come down, she's expecting consumers to be even less tolerant of the price increases at restaurant industry. So I'll go a step further for this. The price of a Big Mac combo meal is around the same price as a steak burger from Jess and Jim's Steakhouse with your choice of potato. And let's see, I think what else comes with that? I think that's it, but that's good enough. I think it's a huge steak burger and fries, cottage fries, baked potato, whatever you want. And you can order a salad for a couple.
Oh, I always loved the cottage fries.
Oh, they were fantastic. And you could order a side salad. Oh, that gravy on them was so good.
Yeah, that was the bomb, dude.
Yeah, it was. So, you know, Justin Jim's one of the highest rated steakhouses in America for over 70 years. Needless to say, I go there to get a burger. You know, Whataburger's actually a couple dollars more for their cheeseburger combo meal. Whataburger's a very good burger, but once again, you know, I go to a Real Ross restaurant and I get a quality meal and more food for close to the same price as fast food. The only place I find the exception at is Taco Bell. Taco Bell, I feel, still has a pretty good value, and it's unique food as well. It's not like burgers.
Yeah, that's not a burger.
Yeah, so...
Not like Jess and Jim's.
No,
you
no,
and
no.
I know Jess and Jim burgers. You yeah. and I used to grind their hamburger.
Yes, and it's made out of the steak trimmings. And anyhow,
yes,
they're...
It's real meat.
Their hamburger patties for their burgers are like almost a pound. And it's on a really cool bun, a brioche, I think, bun. And you have onions, tomatoes, and lettuce there, and, you know, whatever toppings you want, even steak sauce if you want it, and a good portion of cottage fries or French fries or a baked potato, which is huge, for about $12.99, $13. You get that?
And really?
And then if you go to... McDonald's, they're not, Jess and Jim's isn't paying me to say this. I'm just telling it like it is. And there's other places.
No, Jess and Jim's never have to say anything.
There's
we
a place, Neighborhood Cafe is the same way. They got a huge burger, fries, and they give you fucking dynamite cinnamon rolls to start off the meal. And that's for about $13. And then McDonald's is $13 or $14. I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm not going to McDonald's. So. So anyhow, I mean, I don't know why the price has escalated so much, because these mom-and-pop places here in Kansas City are charging about the same or a little bit less for a much better meal. So why would you go to McDonald's?
I have always been like that. I have always went to the mom-and-pop places.
Me too. But, you know, sometimes you're in a rush, so, you know, it's like, oh, Burger King's right my way or McDonald's is right my way. I understand that. But as a rule now,
I understand that too.
If I'm going to go get a burger, I will pay for a Whataburger because I like them considerably, but not as well as Jess and Jim's or Neighborhood Cafe or, there's another one I'm leaving out that has a really good burger. Oh, the Martin City Pub has a really good burger, and that's probably about $13, $14.
Yeah, I know they did back in the day.
They still do. So, I mean, why would you go to a fast food place when it's the same amount of money, if not a little bit less in some instances? Anyhow, Rob, do you have anything? Do you want to keep going?
Yeah.
You want? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
All
right.
No, I got one more.
All right.
You remember Patti Smith?
Smith or Smythe?
Singer, song.
Smythe.
singer, songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's gone.
From Scandal. From Scandal, right?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, Eddie Van Halen wanted her to sing in Van Halen. Isn't that weird? But anyhow, go ahead.
Well, Patti Smith is weighing in on the tortured poets department.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
After Taylor Swift released her highly anticipated 11th studio album on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Sunday. Uh-huh. Friday, April 19th. Smith, an author, singer, songwriter, and poet, became one of several notable names mentioned in the pop star's lyrics.
Really?
Yeah. Swift 34 name drops Smith in the title track of the new album, singing the lyrics, "You're not Dylan Thomas, I'm not Patti Smith, this ain't the Chelsea Hotel, we're modern idiots."
Wow.
I guess that's Taylor's new hit song.
You know, Patti Smith was very respected.
No, well, see, respected. That's the thing. It's spelled Smith. I think it's Patti Smith.
Is it? I thought it was Smith. Maybe I got it wrong.
No,
I'm sorry.
There is a Patti Smith, and I think this is the one they're talking about.
Okay, of Scandal, right?
I think it's a different Patti Smith.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know who that is, I don't think. Okay.
But I remember there is a different Patti Smith, but the way the rest of this goes into it.
Okay. And I could even have him goofed up. I could have him messed up. Maybe that is Patti Smith that's in Scandal, and Patti Smith was one of them.
No, you're right. It was Patti Smith.
Okay, and this is Patti Smith.
Well, I don't know. In this article, it's spelled Smith.
Okay, then that's not it. That's someone else. So, forget it. It's not Scandal's lead singer. Is it Scandal or Quarter Flash? I think it's Scandal.
No, it was Scandal. But yeah. I'll tell you what. Let me do some research on this. I'll figure it out. But among the countless fan theories sparked from those lines, Smith herself took social media on Friday to share her thoughts about her name in the song, sharing a photo of herself reading the work by Welsh poet Dylan Thomas, which was listed in that song before her. Smith wrote on Instagram, "This is saying I was moved to be mentioned in the company of the great Welsh poet Dylan Thomas."
Mm-hmm.
"Thank you, Taylor," the 77-year-old added.
Okay, then that's probably not Patti Smith. Patti Smith would not be 77, I'm certain. Okay, so that's somebody else.
Yeah. It shows a picture of her, but I don't know. After 30 years, she would definitely look different.
Yeah, that's true. She could be 77. I don't know. You know, she could
be
older.
I'll look into this to find out which one it
is. Yeah, that would be cool. Because Patti Smith was so well liked that Eddie Van Halen originally wanted her to replace David Lee Roth, not Sammy Hagar. And I guess she turned it down.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking there is a Patti Smith that was known.
There is. Now that you said it, it's a different genre than what we're used to.
Yeah, she was more, I'm thinking like a folk singer.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking too. So, okay, we're thinking of two different people. Sorry, interjecting with Patti Smith. So.
Still, it'd be cool, you know, to be up there with all these other people.
Hell yeah. Things, and then,
you know,
Patti Smith, all 77 years old ever, respected that too. That was cool, you know what I mean?
In a brand new Taylor Swift song.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Opal. Hi, Grandma Opal. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy.
Dodge City, Kansas. Rah, rah. Love you guys. All right, well...
We still need rain, too, guys. We're still
rain. We're still missing out on it, too, so we hope things get better there, too. You don't need any of those...
It's going all around us.
Yeah, we don't need any of those pesky tornadoes or those pesky gorilla hail storms, so hopefully you just get some rain. Maybe a clap of thunder or two. A little nitrogen in there and help those little plants gain some muscle.
Just the jetties... Gentle, steady rain.
Yes. With little wisps of, let's see, what would... Yeah, you know what, fuck it. I'm getting tired. Anyhow, all right, man. I was going to keep going with that.
Damn,
I'm like,
you're worried about me.
I know, man. All of a sudden, I just lost it.
You did work today.
I'm kind of beat, so...
But I did a lot, so...
Yeah, you did, and you had a lot of stuff go on, so, you know... All right.
I haven't even told you all of it, dude. I'll let you in on the rest of it later.
Okay, that sounds good, man. All right.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, Rob. Well, all right. Everybody, thank you for listening.
I'm going to keep it interesting.
I know you will. I know you will. Trust me. All right. Anyhow, everybody, thank you for listening. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh no, looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.